I want to start off by asking you a question. How many know I am setting you up? How many would raise your hand and say, I know Pastor's setting us up, okay. But I still want to ask you a question, even though you know you're getting set up. If you were offered a job doing the same thing that you're doing now in a different place, and I don't mean like from Montebello to Whittier, I mean like from Montebello to Sacramento, you know what I mean? From Pico Rivera to Wyoming, you know what I mean? Way far. Same, but it was a place that you didn't mind living at. You know what I mean? Whatever that means to you. But it was far. And you could make an extra $20,000 a year. Would you do it? I want you just to think, $20,000 more a year. Or let me ask you this question. If you could move to that same place and you're going to make an extra $50,000 a year. Now, you're going to call the U-Haul company? Penske. $50,000 more than you're making right now. Okay. I'm just asking. What if you could make another $100,000? $100,000. An extra $100,000. Are you going? I want to talk to you tonight. I want to talk to you tonight about making good decisions. Making good decisions. You know this. You can title it whatever you want. That was want and wish. Went. Whatever you went. You can title it whatever you want. I've titled this one Divine Direction, What Should I Do? Divine Direction, What Should I Do? The decisions that you make today will determine what tomorrow will look like. The decisions that you make today will determine what your tomorrow looks like. And let me say it another way. The decisions that you made last year, the year before, the year before, and the year before are probably you're probably walking in the aftermath of those decisions. Hello, how many understand what I'm saying? Good or bad? We say it like this because I want people to understand. When we first got here, I talked to so many people who would not connect the dots. Understand, the Bible says all good gifts come from the Father of lights. All good gifts come from Him. Satan is one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But what he does is, you say, does he have that much power? No, he doesn't have any power. He has influential power. In other words, you are the sons of men. The Bible says that God has given the sons of men power on this earth. So what he does is he tries to influence you by a thought to get you to do what he wants. How many know he couldn't do anything? You don't want to knock Adam and Eve out of the garden except to deceive them, to shoot them a thought, to lie to them. And he is a liar, you know what, and he lies to you too. But I say all that to say, you know what, I saw so many people who'd make bad decisions, and then they'll scratch their head and say, I don't understand why God just kind of seems to be against me. God's not against you. God is for you. That's why when you were making those bad decisions, he kept on trying to influence you, trying to tell you, don't go that direction. How many ever heard the voice of the Lord, you know what, and you went the other direction anyway? Or sometimes, let me just say this, sometimes, that's why it's so important that you be in church. Look at your neighbor and say, be in church.
Be in church.
So, Pastor, what are you trying to get me into church? Yes! Yeah, busted! Busted! Yes, come to church. Why? Because there is a man that God has called. You know what? Place that man divinely. It is, don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Divinely over you. Nobody's over me. Nobody's over me except God. Come on. You can't find that in the scripture. You can't find that in the scripture. But that is, listen, that permeates Christian society. And it permeates Christian society. Can I tell you why? Because we want no accountability. I am smiling, am I not? I'm not here to harm anyone. I'm here to bless everyone.
Amen.
Amen. I love what Paul said. He said, do I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? That's what Paul said. But the truth is, you know what? What happens is we make bad choices, and based on our bad choices, we have a bad life. And I want to say, hey, let's stop blaming God for bad things that are taking place in our life. I'm not saying, listen to me very carefully, I'm not saying that everything that has happened bad in your life has happened because of your choice. How many of there's a bunch of junk that came in your life and you made no bad decisions? They were decisions that your parents made or your grandparents or some goofball in second grade. Is that not right? See, we all do have people around us that still can harm us. But what I am saying is that if you will make good choices, you're going to have a good life. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. Why? Because the Bible says, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he shall also reap. So you can sow to righteousness, and you're going to reap joy and peace, the Bible says. Come on. Is that good news? Why is that great news? Because you can determine, you know, that not, listen, we're not Darwinists. We understand. You know what? God has given us choice. A divine maker has put us here, and we you know what? We have a choice. The Darwinists, you know what, believe that ultimately you're no different than your toaster. You're just globs of cells put together, and the choices you make are just predetermined by your makeup. Well, that's, you know what? That's crazy. Anybody who's been in their closet knows that's not true. Amen. You know what? Silly. I mean, come on. So much crazy, ridiculous foolishness. Go to your closet. I'm just asking. Has anybody got your closet and actually put a shirt on? Looked in your mirror and said, man, that looks makes me look fat. I'm taking that off. Come on, somebody. Tell the truth. I don't worry, that makes me look fat. I'm not fat, that makes me look fat. Come on, I'm preaching good now. Amen. All I'm saying, I'm not upset with anybody, I love you all. But here's what I'm saying. I'm saying, you know what, and you take that shirt off and put on another shirt. You know what, listen, you make choices all every day of your life, all kinds of choices that you can choose what to have. You go over to Panda Express and you figure out what you want. You know what, some extra, you know, chow mein or, you know what, or you want, you know, whatever, you know, pepper chicken or, you know, whatever. Are you following me?
Firecracker shrimp.
Firecracker shrimp. The decisions that we make today will determine what our tomorrow will look like. We make decisions, and those decisions make us. We make decisions, and those decisions make us. Listen to me. We can't make bad decisions consistently and have a good outcome. Hello? Have you, you know, I'm just asking, when you were a kid, did you ever get away with something? Come on, somebody tell the truth. You got it. You know what? And you know what? You got away. Listen, but how many know in the course of time, as you were going in a wrong direction and you consistently made wrong decisions, you weren't going to get away with it. Do you understand? You know what? Those series of bad decisions, you're not going to get away with it. Listen, a lot of people in jail think that they're always going to get away with it. And see, they got away with this one, they got away with that one, they got away with this one. But guess what? You keep on doing that, what's going to happen? You're going to get caught. Yeah, you're going to serve the time. Okay, so a couple of scriptures I want you to look at just off the bat. First Corinthians chapter 16, let's look at verses 6 through 9. And it may be that I will remain or even spend the winter with you. It may be, watch this, that you may send me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you if, here's the main point I want you to catch, if what? The Lord permits. Next verse. But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost. See, he's going to make some decisions, but his main decision is based on what the Lord is going to tell him to do. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. Look what Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9 says. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his paths. 1 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 10. Don't know what that was, but never mind. I want to go over a couple things very quickly. I want to talk about making decisions, and first what we do not want to do, and then we'll talk about what we do want to do. What do we not want to do? Number one, we don't make decisions based on what it looks like. We cannot make decisions based on what it looks like. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Let's say that together. For we walk by faith, not by sight. What is faith? Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the assurance of things not seen. Everybody say not seen. We will get in trouble. I'll get in trouble. You'll get in trouble. It's where we've gotten in trouble. And we make decisions based, and it's not just sight. It's our physical senses, our taste, our smell, even our intelligence. We start basing decisions based on what it looks like. It is, listen to me, it is the original sin. Listen. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God says, don't eat of that tree. Why? What's that about? Good and evil. Positives and negatives. Some of you, your parents told you this. Some of you, your grandparents told you this. Some of this, a professor in college told you this. You know what? And you need to go, eh. You know what? Get a piece of paper out. Put a line in between. You know what? Put the negatives on the one side. Put the positives on the other side. And start listing all the negatives of why, what would be negative if you did this. And then on this other side, you know what? List all the positives. And very quickly, don't follow this instruction. This is wrong. I'm not telling you this to give you instruction. I'm telling you this to make fun of such foolishness. I want to be clear. Don't you dare do this. Why? Because this is leaning into your own understanding. How many know you can list all these positives, all these negatives, and the positives can be, you can have 48 positives and you only have 2 negatives, but how many know it might be a good thing that you do exactly the opposite and what that page is telling you to do? See, the just shall live by their faith. Not by what you see, not by what you smell, not by what you taste, not by what you perceive in your head. Because, you know what? What is sight is temporary. What is non-sight, the Bible says, is eternal. In other words, what you can see is sometimes very deceptive. It'll be there for a minute and then it'll be gone. And what you can't see all of a sudden has the stability to keep your family intact, keep your children intact, keep your loved ones intact. Hello? How many know what I'm talking about? So you cannot, first thing you have to understand is you can't make decisions. Listen, if you're going to make a decision based on what you think, what you see, what you smell, all your intellect and your carnality is what it is. That's a good way to say it. You're going to make very carnal decisions. You cannot walk by sight. You have to walk in trusting God and what he's telling you. Number one, you know what? Number two, we don't make decisions based on our intellect. You can't make decisions based on your intellect. How many recognize, how many old enough to recognize you're not as smart as you think you are? How many of you, you know what? How many of you, the older you get, I'm just asking, how many, the older you get, you recognize, man, how many of you knew a lot when you were 18? Raise your hand if you knew a lot. Raise your hand if you knew everything when you were 17. Yeah. And I know everything. My mama don't know nothing, man. I'm going to tell my daddy don't know nothing. You know what? But the older you get, you start to recognize, man, maybe I don't know so much. Right? Look at what James says. I love this. James chapter 4. I quote this often. I love this passage. James chapter 4, starting with verse 13. Now come, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make, keep it here, and make a profit. Now, come now, you who say. No asking of God. Just let me tell you what, I'm a leader, I can see an opportunity, that let's go into that city. You have no clue what's going to happen. Next verse. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. How many know God knows the beginning from the end? For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then, let's keep it here, and then vanishes away. That's a great passage, but it's a greater passage if you put it in context. How many of those are some great, great passages, but if you put them in context, they explode with understanding? Here's the context that of that verse saying, how many have heard that verse, you know what, you know, our life is but a vapor. In context, here's what God is saying. He's saying, make your life matter. Yeah. And you will not make your life matter if you keep on making your own decisions. And you're going to get to the end of your life and you're going to have all kinds of opportunities that you missed because you did not, because you figured it out yourself. So because your life is so short, make sure you're cluing into what God's saying for you to do. Now what? What next verse? Instead, everybody say instead.
Instead.
You ought to say, here, listen. Why is somebody saying, without even asking God, we're going to do this and we're going to do that? Can I check? Why? Yeah, why? From the heart, the mouth speaks. From the heart, the mouth speaks. Making his own plans. That person is a person that is running their own life. Lord. And I say to them, no, depart from me, you doers of iniquity. I never knew who you were. You weren't part of me. You didn't listen to me. If I abide in you and your words abide in, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you know what God says and you're obedient to do what God says. It's inside here. So, but Pastor, that's not me. Well, you're here in church today. That's, you know, you're doing good so far. Amen. Can today be the day of the rest of your life? Can you start making good decisions today? Could it be, I'm just asking, could it be that you're not here on coincidence, but you're here on purpose? Could it be that God knows what's going on in your life and he sent me into your life right now in this place, ordained of God, to speak to you and say, hey, look, you're running out of time. Start listening to God instead of listening to everybody else, including yourself. I'm just asking, could that be possible? Amen. I believe it could be. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we'll live and we'll do this or we'll do that. We're going to be directed from the Lord. Number one, you know what? Make sure you're not making decisions based on sight. Number two, make sure you're not making decisions based on your intellect. Okay. Now, how do we make good decisions? We understand what we don't do. How do we make good decisions? Well, number one, obey the word. How many know this is the truth? How many know if we just did all the things that the Bible told us to do, we probably would hardly have any decisions to make ourselves? Be anxious for nothing. How many know if we just would cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you? Don't speak anything bad. Don't let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is edifying for the hearer. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. How many just in those four scriptures can see, oh, my life would be so good? Do you understand? Flee youthful lusts. Make a covenant with your eyes. Don't lust after a woman. You know what? And understand, even if you lust after her, you're committing adultery. Don't let the sun set on your anger. Are you catching this? If all we did was I'm just talking about making decisions. If we would just obey the word of God, just do what the Bible says, I'm telling you what, you'd automatically, you would be making 99% of your decisions would be good decisions. I guarantee you that. So that's what, Pastor, why is that number one? Because that is number one. Because if you do that, you know what, you really got it made. It's a most important one. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. I have it up here on the screen. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Yeah, but my friend says this. Yeah, but my neighbors do that. Yeah, but my buddies are doing this. Be kind to everyone, especially those who are in the household of faith. Yeah, but my sister does this. Yeah, but my cousin does that. It don't make any difference. Now, let me tell you where this passage is coming from. They've just got done beating them. They've beat them. They're going to let them go. And they say to them, "Oh, by the way, you can go, but make sure you ain't talking about this Jesus guy." Everybody say, "Beat them." You ever stub your toe? You ever get a paper cut? This has nothing to do with a paper cut or stubbing your toe. They beat them. Not like a spanking when you were little. They beat them. And these guys are saying, "Oh, look, you can say whatever you want to say. You can threaten us. But we understand that ultimately we are going to be obedient to what God says, because that's smarter than what you say." Amen? Number one, just obey the word of God. You know why it's so important to read your Bible every day? Because how do you know if you don't read it? How many ever read your chapter, and in that chapter was like, "Oh my goodness, I needed to hear that." I mean, I'm talking about corrective instruction that you needed to hear. Happens all the time. Okay. Number one, you know what? Obey the word. Number two, walk. Everybody say walk.
Walk.
Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. Look what this says. "He walks with wise men will be wise, but the company of fools will be destroyed." How many look back in your life and you recognize, let me tell you why I made bad choices. I made bad choices because I was hanging out with those goofballs, you know what, and I thought what they were doing was cool. How many recognize if you're with a group of people who say, shucks all the time. Shucks. 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 You know what? In about 2 weeks, something's going to happen. You're going to go, "Man, shucks." Hello? That's right. If you're around people, "Ole, ole, ole, ole." You know what? In about 2 weeks, you're going to say, "Ole." Right? Is that not true? Right? Ole. Right? So I don't know what it is, shucks or ole, but whatever it is, that's what's going to happen. Why? Because their vocabulary rubs off on you, but their attitude rubs off on you. You know, if we just took the majority of people in jail and we just ask them, "Hey, talk to me about this crime that you did. Talk to me about when you robbed, you know what, that liquor store. Talk to me about that." You know what? Yeah, they're innocent. But one of the things that they would say is, "Yeah, you know what? I was hanging out. You know what? I was hanging out with my friends and we were smoking weed. You know what? And all of a sudden somebody said, 'Hey, man, let's make some money.'" Right? If your friends walk off a cliff, would you walk off a cliff? How many heard that growing up? How many heard that growing up? Can I tell you the answer? Here, let me tell you the answer to that. Here's the answer. If your friends walked off a cliff, would you walk off a cliff? Here's the answer. Yes, you would. Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you what, they've done enough studies to say that's absolutely what would happen. Their friends are making bad choices, and you're going to make a bad choice. Because birds of a feather flock together. Pastor, this is so deep. It is, you know what? Don't you enjoy preaching that's practical? You hanging around. You know what? Hang around Richard. You know why I hang around Richard? Because let me tell you why. Because here, hang around Richard, because Richard appreciates and values church. Amen. I go, whoa, you know, what are you going to do? Well, you know, could do that. No, but Richard's going to say, no, whoa, what are you talking about? It's Sunday, we go to church. It's Wednesday, we go to church. He said, Pastor, how do you know Richard values church? Because he's here every Sunday and every Wednesday. This ain't brain surgery. This is simple. Get around people like that. Get around spiritual people. Get away from the carnal people. Amen. Oh, now I'm starting to preach good. Listen to me. You say, yeah, but listen, Pastor. Whoa, wait a minute. But if all we do is hang around with Christians, how are we supposed to get anybody saved? How many have ever heard that? How many recognize how spiritual that sounds? That's so spiritual. It sounds spiritual, he said, but it's not. It tastes like butter, but it's not. Amen. It sounds spiritual, but it's not. You know what I mean? Listen, Satan is a liar. He's tricky. Yeah, but how are we supposed to influence people? Here, let me tell you how to influence people. Get as close to Tamarni as you can get. Amen. The people who were strong influencers in changing the world and having, look, read it in Acts. They were, you know what, the apostles did mighty things, but there were a bunch of people that weren't the apostles that did crazy, awesome, supernatural, life-changing things in their cities, and they weren't the apostles. But the Bible says in the book of Acts, but they spent every day at the apostles' feet, listening to their studying their doctrine. Pastor, but you got a Bible study every day? Yes. Pastor, whose idea was it to put Discover Hope right on your podium? Whose idea was that? That was my idea. Because I wanted everybody looking on the internet to go, and I wanted you all to recognize that you can go, if you will be disciplined, and you can, listen, you only have so much time. And what you should be doing is being as close to your pastors as you can get. Amen. As close, and to listen to the words that they're preaching over and over and over and over again. I guarantee you, if all you did was listen to the sermon that I preached Sunday, you know what? You'd walk away with a better revelation than you got Sunday. I guarantee it. It would be a better sermon the second time than the first time. Amen. How many like lasagna? Amen. Come on. Say, pastor's sermons. Come on, say this. Say, pastor's sermons are like lasagna. They're better the second time. I'm telling you. Some of you don't even know that. Why? Because, you know what? And listen, guys, I love you. I thank God that you're here tonight. I thank God that you came Sunday. But it's not about Sunday and Wednesday. It's about getting, hey, how many know, man, how are you conformed to the world? How are you, or say it like this, how are you transformed from the world? By the renewing of your mind. Guys, we've got to reprogram our mindset. How many recognize there's this self-speak that goes on in our mind, and it's negative. It just tends to be negative. We've heard it, and we tend to go in that direction, and we've got to be, and I'm telling you what, this is a church because we preach faith. We preach the uncompromised word of God. We preach, let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. We preach God is good. Why? Because he is good. We say God is for you, not against you. Amen. So what I'm saying is, let me answer that question. So what you need to do is you need to get, how, listen, here's how you're going to get, here's how you're going to be influenced to your friends. You're going to be influenced to your friends, to the unchurched, by getting on fire for Christ. Amen. And watch, here's what I'm saying. So you have one Christian over here, and they believe this philosophy. No, I got to hang around with, you know what, the unlost, and you know what, I got to be an influence to the unlost. You know what, that's their philosophy, okay? And let's see how effective they are. And then you got this person over here that is going to follow, be a follower of Christ, and recognize Christ didn't go to them, they came to him. Start reading your Bible. Start marking the times in your Bible that it said those people approached God. Well, yeah, but what about what my friend said? Well, who cares what your friend said who doesn't know the word? Amen? That's how you're going to be deceived. You know what? Satan's going to say something that sounds good, but it's not good. Here's what the Bible says. Bad company corrupts good morals. And this person over here is going to save the lost. You know what I mean? This person over here is going to get real close to me and Tamara. And you know what? They're going to get on fire for Christ. In 3 years, this person will have an influence over the lost. This person will many times be the lost. Hey, come on, man. Can we get real with somebody? How many, I'm just asking for hands, how many recognize, and maybe you're as on fire as you've ever been for Christ. Maybe that's you. If that's you, you don't have to raise your hands. But how many would raise their hands and recognize there were times in your life that you were more on fire for Christ than you are now? Thank you for your obedience, or for your honesty. And if your hand's not up, that's fine. I just anticipate you're as on fire as you've ever been. But all I'm saying is, you know what? You can get more on fire. And even if you're on fire, here, thought I was doing an auction for a second there. Hey, how many would recognize this? Even if you are on fire for Christ, you can get more on fire for Christ. Right? How many learned something tonight? So this person, they believe the sounding good. No, I'm gonna be influence. I'm gonna influence these people. I'm gonna get around these. You know what? But this person, I ain't gonna do anything. I'm just gonna get close to Pastor Drew and Pastor Tamara. I'm telling you what, this person will be more influential to people who are not in the family of God than that person. Every day of the week, every day of the week. Are you learning something? It is impossible to get the future right if you have the wrong friends. It is impossible for you to get the future right if you have the wrong friends. Okay. Number one, just be obedient to the word of God. Number two, walk around wise people. You walk around spiritual people. You want to get spiritual? Hang out with spiritual people. You want to get carnal? Hang out with carnal people. And don't, this is free. This is just added bonus. And don't act like your carnal friends aren't carnal. Come on, man. Stop conning yourself. I said, stop conning yourself. Amen. Number three, ask. That's what James said. What you ought to say is, if God wills, what is God's will? James chapter 1, verse 5. James chapter 1, verse 5. You know this. We quote this all the time. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives liberally without reproach, and he will give to him. One version says, you know what, that God, you know what, in that verse it says, without finding fault. God's not against you. God's not mad at you because you don't know everything. He doesn't like, you know what, this ticks me off. I've gone into like a automotive store. Can I tell you what I know about cars? Let's see. I know how to turn the ignition. I know where the brake is. I know where the gas is. I know how to put gasoline in the car. And about anything else, I don't know. Amen. You ever gone into an automobile place and somebody sent you in there and you know what? You got some part and you lay it on the table and say, hey, I need one of those. And they're like, well, let me tell you, did that come? You know, is that like, you know what? And you're like, I don't know. And they roll their eyes at you like, unbelievable. What a dork. Hello, anybody? I have. And let me tell you, I do not appreciate that. I do not appreciate that. Amen. I don't know. I don't know. That's why I'm here, man. Help me out a little bit, brother. Help me out. Help a brother out. I don't know. What's my point? My point is, you know what? When you ask God, he doesn't find fault in you because you don't know. He understands. He loves you. He wants to help you. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. See this promise? You're like, God, I'm not sure. I don't know. He is like so happy to give you revelation, to tell you, to give you wisdom. Okay, number one, what was number one? Obey the word. What was number two? Walk. If you walk around wise people, you're going to be wise. You walk around fools, you're going to be foolish. Number three, ask. God gives. Just ask him. You have not because you ask not. And number four, make a decision. Make a decision. Step out in faith. That's what pleases God. That's what the Bible says. It's impossible to please God without faith. You say, well, Pastor, yeah, but it's a big decision. What if I make it? What if I do? What if I do the wrong thing? All right. Can I tell you what the wrong thing is? I don't even know the decision. I'll tell you the wrong thing right away. Is you walking in fear. Walking in fear is always the wrong decision. I've made all kinds of decisions, you know what? And we have a board of directors that we'll ask and we'll talk and we'll make decisions together. But I tell you what, ultimately the buck stops here. And I've made a lot of good decisions for this church. Oh, I'll give you another chance to say amen. Appreciate that. I made a lot of good decisions for this church. And the diagonal board has made a lot of good decisions for this church. But listen, we don't have a perfect record. Amen. Well, yeah, but whoa. Wait a minute. How many know the Bible says we see dimly like through a glass? The Bible says we know in part and we prophesy in part. Listen, you're gonna think we're gonna get it right every time. We're not gonna get it right every time. We don't even profess to get it right every time. Here's what we profess. We are praying and trying and seeking God and making a lot of good decisions based on what the Spirit of God tells us to do. But if we miss it, so what? You know what? At least we stepped out in faith and said, hey, we think that God is saying this. We're going to try this. Amen? Here's what I'm saying. Guys, whether it's this church or what, how many know that the bad decisions that we've made, you know, throughout the years, and we've been here almost 20 years. How many know 20 years you're going to make some, you're going to strike out a couple times. But even the bad decisions that we've made, God has been gracious to see our faith, to see our trust in Him. And He's able, what's He able to do? He's able to redirect decisions, even decisions that you make. See, if you're being obedient to the Word of God, if you're trusting in God, if you're asking Him, even if you make the wrong decision, you think God can't redirect that? Oh, no. He can't, that would be too difficult. No, of course He can redirect that. He's willing to, if you're putting your trust in Him and your faith in Him, He has the ability to correct your bad choices. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Amen? There's no one in the Bible that says, you know what, that you're going to have to make all the right decisions. You're not going to make all the right decisions. But if you are seeking God and being obedient to the Word of God and trusting Him, even when you miss it, He's going to be able to redirect. What happens? You know what? You know what? Even your GPS can figure this out. Do you ever turn the wrong way? You know what? And what does the GPS tell you? It says, you know what? Recalculating. How many know God is at least as smart as your GPS? I'm being sarcastic. I mean, no, God is way smarter than your GPS. He can recalculate for you. But you know what He can't do? You know what He won't do? He won't put a parked car in gear for you. He won't do that. He can redirect a moving object. How many recognize how hard it is to turn your steering wheel when it's not moving? How many know it is easy when it is moving? That's a great analogy. Because here's the thing. You know what? When you will act in faith and say, I'm not sure, but I sense, listen to me, but I sense that God is saying, I should do this. God will honor that. God will honor that. All right, can we review? Can we review? Who knows what number one is? Obey what? The Word of God. Who knows what number two is? Walk, good. And you can cheat. You can look at your notes. You know what? Who knows what number three is? Let me say. Listen, that's why you have your notes, so you can refer to it. I love people that look at their notes. Okay, so number one is what? Obey what? It's not obey. It's obey what? Obey the Word. Amen. Number two is what? Walk. What's that mean? Walk around wise people, right? Where you need to be. We say right here. Okay. Number three is what? Ask. You have not because you ask not. What's number four? Decide. Make a decision. Move. Amen. Listen. Oh, let's see. Let's see who was really taking notes. What are the two things that we don't do? Number one. Number one, don't make a decision based on how it looks. Number two is what? Don't make a decision based on your intellect. Oh, you guys are so smart. You guys got this. Okay? Okay. How many ready to make some good decisions? Can I tell you what? Just get close to God. The closer you are to God, you know what? The easier it is to hear Him. And the better decisions you'll make. Father, I thank You that we, in our families, in our personal lives, in our finances, in our every aspect in our life, we seek You. We want Your will. We don't want to make decisions based on, I'll stop that prayer, okay? And then I'll start it up again in a minute, okay? You ever put something on pause? Okay, we just put that prayer on pause, okay? We'll pick up on that again. I just want to say this to you. What's the original thing that we were talking about? Do you remember the first question?
Yeah.
What was the first question? You know what? Would you be willing to move for $20,000, for $50,000, for $100,000? Can I tell you what? Most people will base most of their decisions, most of their critical decisions, on finances. But listen, all lies up here. Because if you miss this, you're gonna miss it a lot. That is one of the most crazy, carnal way to live. And you will have a lifestyle of bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. Do not. Why? Because that comes from the stem is bad. The stem is, the root is our love for money. So you're going to make a decision. You cannot make your decision. And most, I'm not talking about unsaved people. I'm talking about people who go to church. Craziness. Okay. I was praying, right?
Yeah. All
right, just. Father, thank you that we make decisions based on what you tell us. We make decisions based on the word. God, we love you. We thank you for a great day. We thank you for a great week. We thank you that we will come back Sunday. We will come in your gates with thanksgiving. We will seek you throughout the week. We'll read your word throughout the week. We're going to pray. We're going to be prayed up. We're going to be fired up. We're going to influence people that don't know Christ because we love you and we draw close to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.